And welcome to this week's Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. I am your host, Josh Gillespie. I want to thank everyone for sticking around after the Snark Factor, and welcome to a brand new show. We took last week off, mostly due to I had a situation that I had to take care of, so it was a personal thing. Sorry we couldn't be on last week, but we are back this week. There is obviously plenty to talk about. There was plenty to talk about last week, but we got even more to talk about this week. And of course, we can't have this conversation. I can't do this myself. I've proved that. I need someone with me. I need an awesome tag team partner. And this week, as usual, the beautiful voice from St. Louis, Missouri, the Smoozy Q.
Oh, Smoozy Q. Oh, Smoozy Q. Oh, Smoozy Q. Baby, I love you. Smoozy Q.
Smoozy.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well, Josh.
Oh, fantastic. I'm glad we could be back this week. How it?
I am too. I missed you last week.
Yeah, well, I missed you too, and I thank you for the tweet saying as much last week. So, tell me, hey, real quick, we had a Super Bowl yesterday.
We did.
And
we
did. If I remember correctly from some of our messages, you were aware there was a game going on.
Yes, I was aware there was a game going on. I was aware that it was between the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers. It was between John and Jim Harbaugh. I was definitely aware of it.
And so we know then that you probably had a good time at your Super Bowl party, though.
I had a great time at the Super Bowl party, and I will confess that I didn't actually do much watching of the game.
See, there you go.
It was such a big, it was a big party at our clubhouse, and there was much socializing to be done. So
did the lights
focus more on that?
Did the lights go out at your party like they did at the Super Bowl by any chance?
Actually, at one point, one of the guys reached over and did turn them off just to kind of imitate what was going on.
Well, also joining us this week, we are pleased to have him every week. Well, pleased is kind of I guess it kind of depends on the week, but we have him on anyway. You know him. You love him. He is the Midwest Rhino. He is the one, the only, the Mark Warners.
Yeah. You feel it, baby?
It's that time again, the time where we bring the best from the Midwest and Rhino goodness. He's cute, he's cuddly, he won't take a position to save his life. It's Mark Warners!
We came here at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 to see them, and all they do is push you farther and farther away, and then they don't even let you see them.
Mark, how are you doing?
You know, I'm like Karl Rove.
You're just going to get right into it, aren't you?
Wow. I am awesome and full of win.
Mark, we're going to get to that, okay?
Oh, no. No, no. You're going to listen to me.
Dude, no, this is my show, and I'll tell you when we get to your
stuff.
You know
what? Listen. Don't screw with me. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I can screw with you because
we will blackball you on the hill in every state that you want to walk into.
You would, you rhino.
How brilliant.
Right.
Yes.
You want to start too? We'll blackball your ass too.
Bring it.
Yeah, definitely how Rovian.
It's like Establishment DC says on Twitter, in DC, not listening to you.
Except Mark is on the south side of Indianapolis, not listening to anyone.
Right.
Let me guess. Hey, Mark, are you drinking anything special tonight?
No, I'm not actually.
Now, come on.
Yeah, I don't detect a trace of bourbon in his voice.
Nothing at all.
Let's put it this way. There was a lot of bourbon consumed this weekend.
Oh my gosh! Yes. Can I tell everyone about the text I got from you?
That I would rather not.
Oh, Susie, let me tell you here real quick.
Okay, just between you and me.
Yeah, just between you and me.
Yeah, okay, because this is not being recorded.
Oh, absolutely not. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, so...
Oops.
So Matt Brinkman and I, we're exchanging some texts with our good friend Mark Warner.
Sure.
And Mark is not what we call caring. Well, he's caring in the Kurt Schlichter sense of caring.
Mm-hmm.
But
the ironic sense.
Yes. Yes. Or the just totally sarcastic, I really don't care about you caring. That's mostly what Mark is, right? Am I right, Mark?
That would be correct.
Okay, good. So we know how many drinks it takes for Mark to actually care. That magic the magic number is 8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it takes a lot.
That is a lot.
It takes a lot. But
usually after 8, I'm beyond caring.
No, so, okay. So Matt, Mark, and I, we're exchanging some texts on Saturday night. And, you know, Mark informs us that he's drinking. And so Matt chimes in and says, you know, hey, I'll text you a little later to see how you're doing. And Mark just says, oh, you know, gives a ha-ha and okay. So I kid you not, like two and a half hours later, get a text from Matt. Hey, Mark, how you doing? Mark responds, I love you guys.
Oh.
And Matt and I are left speechless. We did not say anything. Mark or Matt may have laughed. And then so about, 10 o'clock the next day, we get this profanity-laced text from Mark being like, what did you guys do? What did I say to you guys? And we're like, Matt and I have no idea what he's talking about. And he's like, I told you I loved you. And
it's all your fault.
Yeah, yeah. And I told Mark, I just basically said, listen, we knew you didn't mean it.
Right.
Mark, we know you. We know you don't love us.
Oh.
But then, like, you're still feeling the effects of that.
Eight bourbon and Cokes. That's how many it takes. So, Mark can hold his own. Mark, you can hold your own, right, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Josh, have you not drank with me before?
Not to excess, no.
Yes, you have.
Mm. What? When?
Really? Do we really have to go into this conversation?
No, I didn't drink to excess that day. I had a migraine the next morning because of I'm a sucker for migraines. Are you talking about
all of a sudden.
Oh yeah. There's photographic evidence of that one.
Yes, there is.
And singing Sophie B. Hawkins' Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover with Sean Hackbarth.
Oh, I missed that.
You did. It was.
Damn, I wish I'd been there.
It was live. Okay,
let's just put it this way. The cab driver looked at me and goes, he's really hammered, isn't he? I'm like, yep.
Yeah, Mark was hammered too, okay? You were hammered too.
I was, but I can hold my own.
And here's the sad thing.
Because what happens? Brodigan and I wake up the next day at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, because
you're still in bed.
Yeah.
At 10 a.m.
No, I had to be up that morning and in the office at 9. Okay?
Yeah, you were not too happy about that one.
No, I was not. No, I was not. That was a pretty vicious evening. Only the second time in my life I've consumed that much alcohol. Anyway, why are we talking about me? This is supposed to be about you.
Welcome to the club.
So anyway, Mark, what were your thoughts about the Super Bowl yesterday?
All I know is that Andy is winning.
Okay, yes. There was an article in the Indianapolis Business Journal today that talked about that, how the Super Bowl Village in New Orleans didn't even have half as many visitors as Indianapolis did. Now, granted, it was open half as long, but they said even if they had extended it the amount of time, it still wouldn't have reached Indianapolis levels in terms of fan involvement.
The Indy one was very cool.
Plus, we kept our electricity going, and we had the two top teams. I mean, seriously, not just like, you know, the two top teams in the NFL who reached the Super Bowl, but like in terms of market value, in terms of revenue share, you know, Boston and New York, all right? All eyes were on Indianapolis. We rocked it last year.
Mm-hmm. It was a well-put-together setup from my observation.
Yes, it was.
So take that, Beyonce. You couldn't knock out our electricity.
Isn't Beyonce's 15 minutes up yet?
Oh, no, not as long as she's married to Jay-Z.
Did you watch her dance last night?
I did.
I'm thinking she's got 15 more minutes left in the tank.
Holy cow. Did you not just look at her and be like, dang, she gave birth to a baby not that long ago?
That's the one part that actually captured my attention and held it. Like, damn.
You're like, that's just so wrong.
It's just so, wow.
I mean, and you had to know that the other two women in Destiny's Child had to just beg and thank Beyonce for the fact that she granted them access to her stage on Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize they were going to be there.
Why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about Destiny's Child and Beyonce?
Would you rather talk about In Vogue, Mark?
Yeah, because we
know. No, I don't want to talk about In Vogue. I want to talk about how Karl Rove is going to win our future back.
Your segments mixed up.
Yeah, dude. Dude, okay, I'll tell you when we're going to get to Karl Rove. And frankly, we're going to bash Ron Paul first before we get to Karl Rove.
I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. The Super Bowl sucked. The Ravens suck. The Niners suck. New Orleans, their lights went out. Their attendance was way down. So I don't think they'll ever have another Super Bowl there.
You got to be kidding me. They'll have another Super Bowl there.
Really?
It's a warm climate. Hell yeah, they'll have another Super Bowl there.
Attendance was way down.
I know attendance was down. Trust me, they'll have it again. I just think Indianapolis definitely has the edge when New Orleans is up against them in 2018.
Yeah, because we're awesome.
Now, you have to say we did have a stroke of luck with the weather last year.
We did have a stroke of luck, but even in the bad weather, we would have still nailed it.
You know, here's the crazy thing. New Orleans had Mardi Gras going on, and they still couldn't bring it.
Well,
I know.
All the fun was on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, well, maybe.
So I hear. I've actually never been to New Orleans.
I haven't either. Mark, have you?
Oh my gosh, where have you guys been?
Here.
Yeah, here.
Indy. Really?
Raising families. You know, doing the things that you're supposed to do when you're actually an adult.
Whatever.
I'm the youngest on the show here, okay? And he's the one.
Don't rub it in.
Sorry.
Up, Josh.
Sorry.
But thanks for thinking I was 5 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
Hey, you're welcome. All right.
I'll be 37 in May. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Dude, we share the same birthday with Aaron Andrews.
I know.
As I love to bring up every single time.
I think I've heard you mention that before.
Have we mentioned it before? Because
maybe
I think people.
Once or twice.
I think people need to know that Mark and I shared the same birthday with Aaron Andrews.
Aaron Andrews is hot. Let's admit it.
She is.
I did have to look her up and concede that, yes, she is.
Thank you. She is
hot. I'm trying to admit it. Now, we think you're hot, too, Susie. But
absolutely.
Thanks.
Absolutely. You add a touch of class
now,
to
Duke,
the show.
Duke told us differently about you, but we'll let Duke address
lies.
That.
See, even she knows that you're lying, Mark. Duke wouldn't get in that kind of trouble. He knows better than that.
I don't think so.
He knows better than that. You don't say those kinds of things about Susie.
So, yeah.
Not if you value your life.
That's right. Well, we've had fun here, and we even touched on Mark's favorite brand, In Vogue.
Seriously.
Yes, seriously. Okay, so we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk a little bit about Ron Paul, people.
Yay!
Constitution.
The hell.
Wars.
Man. The hell, man. The hell?
The wars, the Constitution, the wars.
All right. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. We'll be right back after this. Something moving, feeling new. It
is real quiet, muddy water. In a world beyond human understanding, one radio station holds the key. FTRradio.com.
Hey, this is the very caring Kurt Schlichter from the various big Breitbart sites, and you're listening to FTR Radio. Satisfaction optional.
Welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. With me, as always, is the Smoozy Q. And we have Mark Warner. So, we're going to go ahead and get this out of the way now. because the fireworks are going to come a little bit later in the show. Trust me, people. There's actually about to be a disagreement between the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we thought we'd kind of collectively put our loathing on Ron Paul up front first. So I'm going to take it that most of my listeners haven't been under a rock today, but just in case you missed it, the former congressman and presidential candidate Ron Paul took to Twitter today to address the SEAL who was unfortunately killed. Was it this past weekend? And I mean, this guy, for as many kills as he had, he honestly was a lifesaver. I mean, seriously, this guy put his life on the line to defend our country. He is a lifesaver. So anyway, the gentleman's name was Chris Kyle. Mm-hmm. Ron Paul takes to Twitter. Chris Kyle's death seems to confirm that, quote, "he who lives by the sword dies by the sword," end quote. Treating PTSD at a firing range doesn't make sense. I mean,
there are so many words for that guy right now, but I think I'll just leave him alone and call him a dumbass.
You know, that is being nice. I mean, and a couple people we know on Twitter, Hail Razor and Michelle Lancaster, Ski Garmish on Twitter, and Michelle lives in Texas. They took Ron Paul to task. Hail Razor. So all veterans once done serving our nation with honor deserve to be murdered as civilians? Wow. And Ski Garmish, Ron Paul, very disrespectful commentary to this man, his memory and his family. Shame on you. David Welsh tweets, "You're offensive. Kyle was a hero trying to help another vet, and you can't even respect his memory." Chris Knox, "Shocked and disappointed in Ron Paul for this. Rush to judgment." I mean,
here's what I don't get. What even prompted that? I mean, like, what, you know,
we're talking about Ron Paul here, really?
Well, I know. I realize that maybe it's ridiculous to ask what prompts Ron Paul to do much of what he does, but it's just, I mean, it's like, that was so unnecessary. Why make that statement? I mean, he's generally been a pretty firm supporter of the Second Amendment. He's not a you know, rabid anti-gun guy.
No,
and I
he's
know
not.
That he's not necessarily pro. I mean, I wouldn't say he's anti-military. He's anti, you know, imperialism.
Yeah, anti-war.
But even so, I mean, he's never been. I don't know. It doesn't even line up with what his previously stated views are on the issue. And then all of a sudden, he comes out and makes this tweet for what purpose? Other than, I mean, it seemed like he was just stomping on the guy's grave.
It really did. I mean, there was no point at all for this tweet. I mean, if anything, you can say, if you're going to comment on it, you know, at least honor the guy's memory for how he served our country. You know, it is unfortunate that he passed, but you don't need to be going out there and saying that, you know, he was, you know, treating his PTSD by going to the firing range.
Well, that's one of his projects. That's one of Kyle's projects, was working with veterans that had PTSD. And as part of that program, they would take him to the firing range. And it was to get him like in a comfortable setting, familiar surroundings. And it was just to help him work through stuff. I mean, that was one of the things he was working towards doing. Mm-hmm. He had a foundation and everything. I can't remember, it's called FitCon or FitCom. And so I guess I can understand why you might question, well, is this the best place for someone with PTSD to be? But this guy knows it. I mean, he's lived it, and this was his effort to try and work with people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I don't know. It just, as much as I really don't care very much for Ron Paul, the tweet itself just seems so out of character and stupid.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I mean, we've seen some offensive things come from elected leaders and former elected leaders, but I mean,
sure,
that honestly just takes the cake. I mean,
well, the body wasn't even cold. I mean, that's something I'd expect somebody like Marcos or somebody like that to tweet.
True, you know, that's a good point. I mean, raving liberals would usually tweet something like this.
Someone who's a rabid anti-Second Amendment person who's been all over the gun control debate, that's what I would expect. I would not expect that to come from Ron Paul.
Gosh.
Right.
I mean,
so booey on him, and I'm not buying any more of his burgers.
You know,
I
just
have my Ron Paul's burgers hat T-shirt.
You know, I wonder if we should run that ad tonight.
I'm pretty sure I purchased the one and only one that was ever purchased.
Aid? Did you know? Oh gosh, Ron Paul's Burger Hut. I forgot about that. Is there still an ad?
That's epic.
Is there still an ad for that on the FTR's page?
I don't know if it's on the page. I mean, obviously they've got it somewhere in the database, but I don't know.
Oh yeah,
if it's on...
that's funny. Ron Paul's Burger Hut.
We need to get that back on again.
Oh, that is too good. You know, gosh, Fingers needs to do more ads like that.
I know. That was awesome.
I mean, wow. Totally, yeah. Played into everything. Quit stalling and get to Ron Paul's Burger Hut.
Ron Paul's Burger Hut.
Oh, that's good stuff. That is honestly, I mean, that is quality FTR material right there. You know, you don't get that from just any place, people.
No. Well, I will not be partaking of the chemtrail sandwich anytime in the near future. Piss me off, man.
That is so awesome.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm actually going to cut this segment short. Because, mm-hmm. frankly, there's nothing left to say about what a jackass.
Dumbass. Let's move on.
What a dumbass. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and you're going to actually listen and you know, audibly witness a disagreement between the three of us. It's going to be good, people. Yeah. Karl Rove versus the establishment. Or, no, excuse me, not versus the Tea Party. He is the establishment. Gosh, wouldn't that be weird if he took on... Obviously, we have Mark Warner taking the side of the establishment, and we will have the Smoothie Q taking the side of the Tea Party, and we'll have me not. No, I'm not moderating. I'm wanting to find some common ground because I think in a way they're both wrong. Oh, we're moving on. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRRadio.com. We'll be right back after this.
I know, don't quite feel right. Where we're going, outcome uncertain, yeah.
FTR Radio is from the right radio. Online at FTRradio.com.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRRadio.com. I hope everybody is ready for the Super Brawl between the three of us. As you may have heard, as well as Ron Paul's dumbass comments, we have a couple of interesting articles this weekend. Breitbart, headline, Rove declares war on Tea Party.
War.
War!
The wars and the war.
And the counter to that, over at the Daily Caller, we have an article by Matt Lewis. He has been a guest on this show. I consider the man a friend, but he is he's had it on the outs with a few of the conservatives. Anyway, he has an article entitled "Really Want to Stop the Next Todd Akin? Don't Attack Conservative Candidates. Train Them." Duh. Okay, I added the duh.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right.
Soccer.
So anyway, let's read a bit from Breitbart. Oh, shut up! The people at Breitbart are good people.
I'm all not right? seeing that. I'm just.
Okay.
Burn it all down.
All right. From Breitbart.com, yesterday the New York Times reported that the biggest donors in the Republican Party have joined forces with Karl Rove and Stephen J. Law, president of American Crossroads, to create the Conservative Victory Project. The Times reports that this new group will dedicate itself to, quote, recruit seasoned candidates and protect Senate incumbents from challengers by the far-right conservatives and Tea Party enthusiasts who Republican leaders worry could complicate the party's efforts to win control of the Senate, end quote. The group points to candidates like Christine O'Donnell in Delaware and Richard Murdoch in Indiana, who I actually would say is an unfair pointing out, as examples of Tea Party primary picks going sideways in major senatorial battles. It wasn't... Richard Murdoch is tough to explain. Anyway, so they're using terms like Bush Insider and stuff like that. So, okay, this obviously got grassroots people all up in arms. I get that. I do. You know, and maybe that was Karl Rove, that was what he was wanting to do, was that he was wanting to piss some people off. But, you know, I gotta say, in defense of Rove, the record of when candidates who are kind of, not on their own, but they basically go against the establishment, and win a primary, their record in a general is, well, we could,
I don't know if I'd say that, Mark.
I'd call it, no, I'd honestly call it, I mean, outside of Ted Cruz, okay, so they got one victory.
Deb Fisher, Nebraska. Wasn't she?
Okay, you know what?
Hold on, and Mark knows Nebraska, so I'll let him speak to Nebraska.
Or am I wrong about that? Maybe I'm misspeaking.
You're right. Hold on. Let me just...
Hold on. Before we get to that, Mark, and we could say when Marco Rubio beat Charlie Crist...
Right.
That...
2 points you came from Crossroads Super PAC.
And not, well, not only that, I think people started seeing the writing on the wall with Charlie Crist, that he wasn't what they expected. And so they let that thing play out. And there was far more... There was establishment support for Marco Rubio, even in the primary, because they saw where Chris was going.
5 million to help Rand Paul.
Yeah, we helped Rand. Although Rand Paul, he ran against McConnell's guy.
Okay, 216,000 to help Alan West.
Okay, are you
1.6 million to Sharon Angle? No,
now,
I'm not.
Are you looking at general? I'm talking about primary stuff here.
I'm talking about general as well.
Okay, hold on.
The establishment's not going to get involved in general or primary elections.
Hold on. Just chill.
God, you people.
Chill. Racist.
Drink some bourbon.
Yeah, drink your bourbon. Drink about 8, okay? Drink about 8 real quick.
I love you guys.
So, okay, they've had Ted Cruz, Rand Paul... Are good, and we can discuss. Mark can address Deb Fisher, but are good, solid. You know what we could say: Tea Party back candidates who not only took out the establishment chosen person in an open primary, mind you, but they also won the general. But we have far more people like the Christine O'Donnells, the Sharon Angles, the Joel Millers. Unfortunately, the Richard Murdochs.
I don't think you can put Murdoch in with them, though. That's the problem.
Well, I tend not to, because Murdoch is a special case because he just stuck his...
one bad moment, and it was primed because of Todd Akin.
Well, the timing of it was that. I mean, it was the timing of his comment. But Murdoch... And again, I love Richard Murdoch. I love him as a person because I think he is one of the most genuine people out there.
He's a good man.
He is a good man. We've had him on this show. We know he is a man of principle and a man of conviction. But with that, being a man of conviction, he sticks to it even when his conviction is wrong. And that's what I'm talking about campaign staff. He stuck by too many people who he should not have put his faith and trust in. And that was his ultimate downfall. But aside from that, I would say that, you know, the quote-unquote Tea Party candidates in the Senate races, not so much in the House races, but in the Senate races, have not fared well. And so, but Mark, before we let you do your thing, because we know you can rant a long time, I'm going to let Susie take her side of the story.
My turn.
I'm gonna let Susie have her turn first because.
Go ahead, Susie. Because I would love to hear it.
Because people like to hear Susie more than they like to hear Mark.
That's
I'm sorry.
Fine.
It's
you
just,
know what? That's okay.
It's a point
I'm
of fact.
Waiting to hear the crap
it's
rolling out of her mouth.
It's he's bringing it, Susie.
What happens when we assume? Actually, My position on this is not so much taking the pro Tea Party position, which is what you were assuming it was, but taking the anti-Rovian position, and that being both sides.
Mark, turn off your phone.
Shut up. Keep going, Susie. I'd love
get
to hear
it. Get off the phone, you big dope.
See, we all knew it was. We all knew it was Mark.
Conservative.
We all knew it was Mark.
I know.
Interrupting the show. This is what the establishment does.
Did you just go on?
They
seriously
break the rules. They try to disregard what people have to say. Throw out phones that ring. Go ahead, Susie.
He just wants us to know how popular he is. No. Okay. So here's the thing. And Matt addresses this in his article in the Daily Caller. The Rovian perspective here seems to be, hey, look, we're the establishment. We're big bad. We're going to go after this from the angle of preventing the grassroots candidates. We don't want the people that are, the ultra conservatives. We want to go with the more establishment type candidates and protect them in the primaries from being primaried by the grassroots people. And the grassroots people are all focusing on doing the exact opposite. Okay. My position on it is bullshit.
Ooh.
Okay, say that again.
Hold on. Susie swore. All right.
I did.
You pay attention, people. When Susie drops a bomb like that, you listen.
Because while you guys are busy knocking the crap out of each other over who should be the right candidate, no one is focusing on the most important thing, and that is getting our candidates elected. And that means focusing on training them so that they don't stick their feet in their mouths, and messaging. And everyone's so focused on the battle between the establishment and the Tea Party, no one's actually doing what needs to be done. So my beef with Rove is not because I'm all pro Tea Party, although I support a lot of what the Tea Party stands for, but because I'm against this, never ending infighting that's going on. I think it's completely counterproductive.
Mark, your turn.
All right.
And don't make this difficult to edit with all your long pauses and whatnot. Get your thoughts out.
No pressure.
No pressure, Mark.
Somebody tweeted today, and I can't remember. It was Nathan Wurtzel. I know that, and I just can't find the tweet. But here's the problem. In primaries, okay, the establishment protects the incumbent.
That's their job.
That's their job. Their job is to protect the incumbent. I don't give a crap what you think. That's their job.
What if the incumbent sucks?
What's that?
The idea is that to protect their majority, and their majority
they got to protect their people
and the majority
chamber.
Yeah, and the majority is built on incumbency. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Unless you're in a situation like if you had the DSCC and Bob Menendez was up for re-election. Let's just use that as an example right now. Mm-hmm. They may not want to fund him if they find that he is guilty of having sex with underage prostitutes. I love how Harry Reid is standing next to him.
Wait, you're talking about the Democratic Senatorial Committee?
Yeah, I'm just using it as an example.
I'm just making sure.
No, no. I'm just saying with an example like that. I mean, I know that they probably still would defend their incumbent, but I'm just saying. Let's say Bob Menendez was a Republican and he still had the same issues he's having currently, and he was up for re-election. It would not surprise me if the Republicans said, "Yeah, we're not touching that with a 10-foot pole. We will happily support whoever wins the primary, unless it happened to be Bob Menendez." But I mean, unless there's a situation where the incumbent is so severely flawed and wound up in legal trouble, it is the job of the party to protect their own because it helps protect
the seats that we have.
Not only the seats that we have, but they also hope to build on top of what we currently have. So if you're just a seat or two from a majority, yeah, you're going to keep your incumbents and try to help those who are running against Democrats.
Now, with that said, that's their job. Okay, they came out after the primaries and they supported Richard Murdoch. They supported all of these others. They supported Todd Akin after his bout with "I ain't getting out. I'm going to do what I want" and digging his heels in. They finally said, "Okay, we got to try to save this seat."
So Mark, Dana Loesch said that there was no establishment support for Todd Akin.
I don't care what a radio shock jock said.
But she said it, Mark. She said it.
To win campaigns by talking on the radio all day. That would be awesome. Thank you, Nathan Wurtzel, for that tweet. But, okay, my point is, and I'll say this, Dana Lash has done nothing to me, but the facts are the facts. I'm sick and tired of people going, well, the GOP doesn't do anything for us, and all of this. When I posted this the other day, it says, I truly enjoy the people who make it crystal clear they want no part of the GOP, then whine when the GOP leaders ignore their demands. I did not say that. Mark Grove on Twitter said that, and I retweeted it and posted it to my Facebook page.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, it's true, too. It's absolutely true. You, the minute you start going after the establishment and calling them spineless rhinos and spineless leaders and crybabies and all these other names that y'all can come up with, I'm not going to listen to you either. But if you disagree with me respectfully and come at me, fine. We can have a discussion. But if you're going to call me a spineless rhino all day, then I got nothing to really say to you. Because guess what, folks? I can stand on the sideline of a football game and yell, that was a stupid play, but it's a hell of a lot harder to be on that field and play in that game.
Wait a minute. I think Mark just actually gave us a secret of how to shut him up, and that's just to call him the spineless rhino.
And I was just going to say that was a very cogent point he made there at the end. I like the analogy
yes.
that he used.
That too, but...
If you think you can do better, get off your lazy asses and run for office. And then go in there and then try to do something. How would you like to be John Boehner, okay? How would you like to be Speaker of the House? And you have to get the conservatives and the moderates of your party on the same page. How hard do you think that would be?
Worse than herding cats.
It is worse than herding cats.
So let's stop there and let's go over to Karl Rove for a minute. Karl Rove is a genius, okay? The guy did an excellent job in the Bush time, okay?
Let's be honest. He did get George W. Bush. George W. Bush elected twice.
And he got a majority in the House, okay? He did those things. Regardless of whether you want to combat it or not, the facts are the facts. Karl Rove won, okay? He won those races. He strategized and he won because he's a genius. Do I think that Karl Rove probably shouldn't have come out and said he was going to start a war against the Tea Party? Probably not the smartest thing, okay? But Karl Rove is a political genius, okay? Combat that, fight that back all you want. But the Tea Party, and I won't take credit for this one. Jacob Perry needs to take credit for this one. But he's absolutely right. The Tea Party can sit there and say that they won those House races, but then they curse the DC consultant class. Well, guess what? Every one of our members that just won this last year or 2 years ago, that in the House that are here in our state, the Republicans, were all consulted by DC consultants. Some of them were Indiana consultants, but they also consult for the RNC and the NRSC and whoever. Okay? They were given money by the House Republican Caucus. They were given money by this group. So if you want to take credit for winning those races, you better give credit to the people that worked the phone banks, ran the communication strategy, ran the campaign, did the political directing, did the grassroots operations, did the consulting, and gave money. You better give credit to Karl Rove for giving money to those candidates. The Tea Party cannot claim all the credit for those wins. And if they do, I will call their bullshit on them right now. Because the consultants on the ground were giving the advice. Fine. The Tea Party went out in droves and voted for these people. Great. They were fired up.
Well, the thing is, you have to know, and this is what consultants for the most part can understand. And I say for the most part because sometimes they do get it wrong. But they can see, especially, and this is why Tea Party candidates do well in congressional districts. Your voter base is smaller. You know who you're appealing to. You know who you have to drive out in a more concentrated area. And so, especially like, for instance, Alan West's. You put Alan West on a statewide ticket in Florida, now he'll lose because he's going to alienate a lot of people. And yeah, he lost his last congressional race, but it was close. And
he spent $20 million.
And he spent $20 million, but he also took bad advice because he started thinking he knew better than everybody else.
Right.
And like I said, you know, I love Richard Murdoch, but he put his loyalty in his own people ahead of those who knew what to do to win the race without as many gaffes as he provided.
And the NRSC was here in that race.
Yeah, they were. And they were still trying to make up for the mess that he made. I mean, they knew what he did. They knew it was a time bomb. And they still came in here and tried to work it.
And I love Richard Murdoch. I love that man.
I do too.
He's a good, good man. But you cannot continually blame the establishment for losses. Because what I saw this past year, okay, the Tea Party claims that they're all, well, we're, okay, fine. You guys have done some amazing things, and I'll give you credit where credit is due. But where were all of you when the phone banks were empty?
Where were
all of you when we had to do door-to-door stuff? But no, you would rather have rallies and yell, burn it all down, and the establishment, and rhinos, and...
Can someone come up with another... What were all those things that were going on that were put on by one of our favorite organizations?
Free packs!
Oh, how many free packs can we have? Many free packs can we have before the general?
And hold on a second. Let me, in key swing states. Let me say something. I'm not against them holding rallies and having free packs, okay?
But I'm not either.
Listen, here's what they should do. And if they want to, if I'm going to get emails about this, fine, I'll get emails about it. But when they hold free packs in these states, why don't they say, okay, Friday night we're going to have our thing, and then Saturday morning we're going to have a couple little events. And then Saturday afternoon, we want you guys to go to the nearest Victory Center and make calls for these candidates. Romney, the congressional candidate, whoever it is, make calls for those candidates. Imagine 200 and whatever people were at this event. If 50 of them or 100 of them would have showed up at a couple phone banks, holy cow. You know how many calls you can make on the Victory Center call? You can make 100 calls an hour. You have 50 people in there, boom, you just reached a whole crap of people, whether you left a voicemail or talked to them personally. And that's the thing. It's like, that's what I keep telling people. They're like, well, you just hate the Tea Party. No, I don't. No, I do not. Here's what I don't like. I don't like people running their mouths all day long about principles and rhinos and everything else, but refuse to pick up that phone. And here's where I'm going to give Dana Lash some credit. She was in Indianapolis 2 weeks before the election, I think it was. AFP had something going on. I don't remember. And she came to town for it. She stood up and she was like, get out there and make phone calls and go door to door today. Get out there and do this because we have to win. And she at least gets that piece of it. But there's a lot of people that, you know, say, well, our activists are doing a great job. Great, they are. Some of them,
They were not.
Some of them showed up. No, listen. Some of them did show up for phone banks, okay? But most of them did not show up for phone banks. Why? Because either they said they didn't know about it, which is pure crap, because I know that they get emails and phone calls and everything else.
Maybe they were in the middle of writing their book?
I don't know. My point is...
I can think of a couple books that were written during the general election.
So here's what they need to do. And somebody brought this up in an email today. Oh, we have a meeting. Guess what? We should. We should have a meeting. And you know what? The Tea Party can take some blame, and so can the establishment can take some blame for some losses. Okay? They can. They absolutely can take blame for some of those losses. And do we have a messaging problem? Absolutely we do. But here's the problem with our messaging. We can throw out a message, and I don't remember who said this, and even if I do, I'm not going to tell you who it is. But it's, I'm an individualist, and I can do what I want, and I don't need you to tell me what to say. Why do you think Democrats win? Because people get behind the message and they run with it. If the Republicans put out a message, guess what? It's, well, I don't want I do what I want. You know, I'm not a rhino. I'm not an establishment. I'm an individualist and burn it all down in principles.
That's exactly my point. The Democrats win while the establishment and the Tea Party are playing gingham dog and calico cat.
Okay, then here's the point then, Susie. If we put out a message, why doesn't the Tea Party help promote that message? And I'm not saying that they don't do it all the time, but if we tell them that the sky is blue, and it is, and this is the message that we want to put out there, for some reason they're not going to agree with us on it. Here's the thing. But why should the establishment sit there and say, here's the message, here's what we want to do, here's the what we need to have you put out there? And I know them. I know a lot of Tea Party people. They're going to go, well, I ain't doing that. I don't agree with that.
Right, but that's my point. Everybody's so entrenched in their little mini war with each other, they're not focusing on the big picture. And the reason I have a beef with Rove and what he just did was because it was presented, as Josh pointed out earlier, as, hey, we're you know, they presented it essentially as striking back at the Tea Party instead of, as Matt Lewis pointed out in his article, focusing it more on, hey, let's figure out how we can get these candidates selected and trained so that they aren't sticking their feet in their mouth.
So
that's where the focus is.
We need to be focusing on candidate training. And hold on, I have to actually cut this segment off. I do. Because we're out of time. I mean, way over. I let this thing go like an extra 5 minutes. And
take the Ron Paul segment out because I'm not done.
Okay, you know what? We just won't get to Susie doing, you know, her legal time. So chat away. You have
hold on. Here's the thing. Here's the problem. I hear this. The Tea Party's like, well, and the establishment needs to listen to us. And the establishment's like, look, we've been giving you guys stuff to do, and you're not doing it. The problem is here in Indiana, we have a great relationship with our lawmakers and our party.
We do actually have,
but we don't walk in there calling them spineless rhinos.
Yeah. I mean, that was an interesting topic today in this email group where they were like, you know, one person, and God bless them, I think it is awesome. They were very happy that they, you know, they are going to get a chance with a couple of other bloggers to sit down and with their state speaker of the house. I'm like, that's awesome. You know, that is great. But then I thought to myself, you know, who's your access? You know, Mark and I have had that relationship with not only the governor, the lieutenant governor, the speaker of the house, you know, for the last few years. We've had that for the last few years. And with the new governor, we've had a relationship with him since he's been in Congress. And so our relationship with the governor is actually going to be better than it was with the previous governor. Not that it was bad with Mitch. It wasn't. But, you know, we have a better into this governor than we did with the previous one. And we've called them out. We've never called them spineless rhinos. But we've called out, you know, on certain legislation that we didn't like, you know. And they know that we aren't going to carry their water. But the thing is that we don't attack the legislator. We attack the legislation.
Yes.
And so, you know, everybody seemed to be like, oh, you know, okay, that's awesome. But be careful. No, because once you say something bad about them, they're going to turn their backs on you. And I'd be like, no, it's not that they're turning their backs on you. It's that you called them, you know, you just basically spat in their face. Okay? If you're going to attack them personally, of course they're not going to do any business with you. But if you attack the merits of the legislation, then that's something completely different.
And if I were to go out and attack AFP or Freedom Works, and I would personally attack Christina Rivalli, if I would personally attack her.
Oh, we'd expect nothing from
that.
You'd
be a dead man.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, I would have, I would be, I wouldn't be allowed. And I would never attack her.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely not going to be attacking them. I mean, I know the people on the ground.
I know
they're good people.
I don't
either. Yeah.
But you know what? I know them personally. And at the end of the day, they're my friends. I might not agree with everything that they say or do. And I know they don't agree with everything that I say or do. That's fact.
Yeah, it's definitely a fact.
Mr. Rhino here.
Yeah.
That's the point. Now, Susie?
Yes.
God love you. But this Karl Rove war, I agree with you that he shouldn't have said what he did. Okay? And I agree with you that but the guy is a political genius.
I didn't say that.
If more people would listen to him on some things, we would probably win a little bit more. But here's the point. You cannot take and go, well, the GOP is dead because Karl Rove come after us. Guess what? It's Karl Rove. Okay? It's not Rens Priebus going out there and saying the Tea Party sucks. It's Karl Rove. Okay? Now, in politics, money talks. Whether you like it or not, money talks. And the more money you give to the party, the more they're going to listen to you. But there's also a piece of that that says they're also going to listen to you even if you disagree with them. And even if you don't have a lot of money because you have followers.
And I'm gonna cut you off there, Mark. I mean, seriously, because we do have to move on. But just to kind of...
For more time.
Just to kind of wrap it up here, I think that Matt Lewis does have a good point, though, in terms of training. And he pointed out Newt Gingrich, how he was basically working with candidates, and that led to the Republican Revolution in 1994. We have all these grassroots groups now, all right? If they're going to be training people, they don't just need to be training grassroots people, but they need to get in with the candidates early. Help them learn how to talk. Help them with fundraising, okay? Because the party's going to be doing that with their own candidates. And if you want to take out the establishment guy, make sure you don't have some dingbat running against him and get all upset once the establishment guy trounces the Tea Party guy and then claims that, you know, when the Tea Party guy ran a terrible campaign and couldn't talk his way out of a paper bag. Anyway, that's it. That's it for this segment. We're going to move on to Susie's Law. Coming up next, we have about 2 minutes for Susie to talk about.
Yay.
You'll know. Anyway, coming back here on Gillespie, right here on FTRradio.com. We'll be right back.
We want to welcome
Michael Moore!
To
Occupy Wall Street!
I'm so impressed by what I'm seeing here.
How much of people's income do you, Michael Moore, want the government to confiscate?
Probably twice what we're paying right now.
It's not envy, it's war.
Where's the rage? Where's the uprising?
Storm the doors of the New York Stock Exchange.
It is a class war.
If the wealthy paid their fair share.
For a documentary filmmaker, I do really well. I'm very blessed.
And the rich thought poverty was bad.
I do well.
They get rid of it.
What pure? There's nothing pure about capitalism.
And they know what's coming on Wall Street.
We're seeing the end of capitalism. And I say good riddance.
He is one of my favorite capitalists. No, I want to give him a hug.
Hugging Moore, coming soon. Check out www.huggingmore.com.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. I hope you guys stuck around for that last segment. That was pretty exciting. But we're going to introduce a brand new segment this week. It's going to be short, but that's okay. Short but sweet. It's our brand new segment we're calling Susie's Law. And Susie is going to break it down what's going on with the presidential appointments.
There's been a recent development. As you may recall, back in the beginning of 2012, Obama made three recess appointments to the National Labor Relations Board and also one to the brand new fancy schmancy committee thing that he set up.
Yes.
They were all recess appointments. They were challenged. And the D.C. Circuit Court last week held unanimously that recess appointments cannot be made during just a brief break. It has to be during between sessions or between Congresses. So his three appointments to the NLRB are not valid, according to the D.C. Circuit. And therefore, the rulings that the NLRB has been making for the past year are being challenged now right and left.
Good.
Because they're saying, okay, you only had two members that were valid on the board and that you need a quorum in order to make the rulings. So
Mark is talking to his dog. Mark, stop talking to your dog in the middle of Susie's segment.
This is setting up a series of court challenges that's going to end up at the Supreme Court, and it's going to possibly knock a lot of Obama's appointments out of the water. It's not, you know, it can't be retroactive back to the Bush administration because he made some recess appointments of his own.
Sure.
But
well, the thing
it's
is
an
is
interesting
that
issue.
Well, the House and Senate, I mean, they purposefully, like, Republicans maintained a presence on the Senate floor so that they could technically say that the Senate wasn't, you know, in recess.
In 2007, he started these pro forma sessions so that there couldn't ever be an alleged recess so that Bush couldn't make any more appointments.
And John Boehner did the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Gotta love pro forma.
Yeah.
The rules. So anyway, well, we're going to have to do a little bit more with Susie's Law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She's our legal scholar, folks. We need to hear more from Susie. We need to understand the law. Susie's law. Anyway. Okay. So that's going to do it for us on this show. Wow, it's been an exciting one. So, Susie, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on my blog at qwithaview.wordpress.com and on Twitter at smoothieq.
Mark, if people actually want to interact with you, being the staunch rhino you are, where can they find you and block you?
MWarner95 on Twitter.
All right, and I am at Josh Gillespie on the Twitters, and you can find the complete archive. I kid you not, I can say that for actual fact. The complete archive of Gillespie on joshgillespie.com, where you can also listen to it, yes, on your smartphone.
Yay!
You can go to the website, you can click play, and it will play on any iDevice or smartphone. And eventually I will somehow figure it out. I may have to set up a whole new podcast archive on iTunes so that it can be downloaded again. But that's the next step. I'll figure that out. Anyway, so for the Smoozy Q, and Mark Warner, I am your host, Josh Gillespie. Thanks, and we will see you again next week.
Bye-bye.
Don't speak like we used to. And where do we go to now that our comfort is gone? Pick up the receiver, 'cause I wanna hear.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?